Let's turn now in the scriptures to Psalm 95, and we'll be reading from Psalm 95, also Colossians 3 and verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16, and then the other one is, the first one is Psalm 95, verses 1 through 11, the whole psalm. And before we read on God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our gracious Father, we're thankful for Your holy, inerrant, infallible Word. We pray that You would help us, encourage us in our communion with Jesus Christ, our Lord, our King, and our Savior, Redeemer. Father, we ask that You would work in us Your Word, into our hearts, into our minds, and heart, our wills, and our affections, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So first we're going to read Psalm 95, and then we'll turn to Colossians 3. Psalm 95, verse 1, these are God's words. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods, in whose hand are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are His also. The sea is His, for it was He who made it, and His hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you would hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as in the day of Massa in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation, and said, they are a people who err in their heart, and they do not know my ways. Therefore I swore in my anger, truly they shall not enter into my rest. Those are God's words. And then in turning to Colossians, in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. These are also God's words. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Those two are God's words. So how are we to grow and encourage our communion with Jesus Christ? We've covered a number of things so far, like Sabbath keeping, hearing the Word, the sacraments, prayer, and meditation. But another one that we come to now is psalm singing. Psalm singing encourages or helps us grow in our communion or fellowship with Jesus Christ. And that's not merely psalm singing in public worship, but also private family worship. This evening we look at two things. We're not showing why psalm singing is biblical. We've already done that before. And we just heard the command in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 16, for singing only the psalms. But the first point this evening, the benefits of psalm singing. The benefits of psalm singing. Again, Colossians 3, 16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. So let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. He's talking about the Psalms, and they are the word of Christ. Now there are many benefits to singing the Psalms, but perhaps the greatest is that we are singing with Jesus Christ. We are singing in union with Jesus Christ. The Psalms are described, verse 16, as the Word of Christ. All the Scriptures are the Word of Christ. We all agree with that. And when we sing, we're singing the words of Jesus Christ. And as he meant them for singing, and we know that he did sing them himself, we're singing with Jesus Christ. There are no other songs to sing that you can say that about in all the universe. Some of you know that when you sing with other people, you're partaking in a type of fellowship, a type of communion with those people. And here, singing the Psalms, wherever we do that, we're not only singing and communing with one another, if we're singing with other people, we are communing also with Jesus Christ. Singing with Him. There's an ancient church saying, always a psalm in the mouth, always Christ in the heart. Well, that's the first thing, that we are singing with Jesus Christ. The second is the same, in the same vein. We're singing the Psalms. When we're singing the Psalms, we're singing the Bible. And that's going to go to our meditating upon the Word. It's going to encourage our memorization of the Word. As we grow in Christ and become more mature in our faith, the ability to recall passages of Scripture is great in need. And not only for our own souls, but to the help and service of other believers, even to evangelize. So in all these ways, we're communing with Jesus Christ. So further, we know that, as we just said, singing helps memorize. And that's how we teach the ABCs to our children. And other things, we can teach people through music. God has given to us a helpful way to memorize Scripture. And we're learning the Scriptures by singing the Psalms. My family, my wife is better at learning at things through music, and some people are like that. But all of us learn things as we sing them. God gives us the singing of the Psalms to do just that. And so not only do we worship the Lord when we sing, but we are memorizing the text while worshiping. If we sing the same song a few times over and over, we begin to remember at least how the beginning of the psalm starts and the words that are there. We are memorizing. It's a cognitive benefit to sing the psalms. It's also learning and memorizing important doctrines of faith and life in the psalms. Through singing his word in the psalms. And none of those important doctrines in the psalms are left out that are found throughout the scriptures. We've talked about that previously. But sometimes we think, how can all the major doctrines, how can all the major doctrines in the scriptures be found in one book? And yet, if we were to search, they're there. And what we've learned in prayer meeting, going through the Psalms, we learn something new, hopefully. And this time around every Psalm, we are trying to focus on, maybe not, I'm not the best at leading that, but every psalm speaks of Christ. And I'm sure as we keep studying, we'll see Him more and more. Think of just the psalms that speak directly about Jesus. We think of Psalm 2, Psalm 22, Psalm 110, for instance. And of course, those psalms that speak of Christ through types, which are a lot of them, but a couple are Psalm 16, 18, 21, 61, 72, and 118. The offices of prophet, I'll just say the number, 22, priest, 110, king, Psalm 2. His divinity, Psalm 45, his eternality, 90. Incarnation, 8, 40, 22. His rejection, 22. His triumphal entry, 8 and 118. His trial, 35. His betrayal and being beaten, Psalm 41. His rejection, Psalm 22. His cross, the cross, his crucifixion, Psalm 22, his dying words, Psalm 31, his burial, Psalm 16, his resurrection, Psalm 16, and 60, his ascension, Psalm 16 and 47, his return in judgment, 50, 72, and 98, and the psalms we learn and sing about Jesus Christ and with Him. But we also sing about God's existence, just generally God's existence. Psalm 14 and 19, His knowability, 103, His incomprehensibility, Psalm 145, His immutability, that He doesn't change, Psalm 18 and 102, His infinity, 145, and the others, His eternality, 990, 102, His omniscience, 133, 37, 81, 119, 139, omnipresence, 139, omnipotence, 62, 115, and many others, of course. Wisdom, 19, 33, 104, his veracity, 25 and 89, his goodness, 16, 36, 63, 100, 103, and 116, his holiness, 11, 71, 99, glory, 19, 21, 24, 29, 102, his faithfulness, Psalm 89, and many, many others, and righteousness, to the same, 7, 116, 119, and 145. And those are just the doctrines about God, specifically. To establish other doctrines and themes in Scripture, we could go on, but the New Testament directly quotes the Psalms 80 times. And there are at least 331 allusions or verbal parallels from the New Testament to the Psalms and referencing the Psalms. And so if you go to those New Testament passages and you look at all the doctrines that are found in those New Testament passages that are alluding to, that are quoting, whatever they're doing with the Psalms, the doctrines and the themes that are taught there, they show us that those doctrines are being taught in the Psalms. And so now we're not only singing the psalm, if we're singing the psalm, but we're thinking also of those other places that are quoting the psalms and the doctrines that are found there as we grow up in the faith. And this all means that about every 19, or on average, not every 19 or so verses in the New Testament, it quotes or alludes to the psalms in some way. Why is that? Because the psalms teach the doctrines of our faith. And how to feel about those doctrines, how to live in accordance with those doctrines, and what to desire because of those doctrines. But the Psalms also teach us about ourselves, which with knowing God is essential to seeing Christ fully. And we can compare ourselves with Him and be satisfied in Him alone. We see that, especially as we think of the every Psalm having an aspect and showing us our union with Jesus Christ. Whether His union with us and that He became sin for us, or the opposite, that we are in union with Him. One man said, the fullest recognition of personal sinfulness, Psalm 51, Psalm 69, of man's inability to justly justify himself before God, Psalm 130, 143, of his need of pardon and cleansing and renewal, Psalm 32 and 65. Of his dependence on God for preservation from sin, Psalm 19. Of the barrier which sin erects between him and God, Psalm 66 and 50. As well as the strongest expressions of absolute self-surrender and dependence on God and entire trust, or full trust in his mercy, Psalm 25 and Psalm 73. They're found in the Psalms, he's saying. And that's a lot. We could keep going. We could keep going. We could spend the whole time and much longer, days, weeks, our lifetimes. We could look at every psalm and see the different doctrines of Scripture found in them, and we would probably not have exhausted them still, and how each one of those doctrines were, and in each one of the psalms were shown Jesus Christ. And each one, how we're united to Him and how He's united to us. In the Psalms, we are praising the person and work of Jesus Christ and are thus at all times communing with Him in the Psalms. And next, we also learn that psalm singing brings us the benefit of learning how to pray. While we sing the Psalms, we're also getting a lesson from the psalmist on how to pray, as we are singing the psalmist's prayers. And if we're being led to sing them over and over and over, then we are, in a sense, memorizing how to pray. Memorizing those prayers, whether they are prayers of supplication or thanksgiving or imprecation, that is, curses and justice, prayers of praise and other forms of prayer, the Psalms are the perfect model for us that are given to us by our Lord to sing. We remember further that as we consider prayer in the Psalms, that the prayers we find in the Psalms are perfect. They are perfect prayers. They're always prayers in accord with the will of God. And so psalm singing will help with our prayers to learn how to pray in accordance with God's will. And we find as we sing the psalms, as we read the psalms, that we are far from having a perfect prayer life. It'll also help in our hearing of the word, even in the sacraments, as we partake in the sacrament. We'll be singing the psalms Jesus sang when he instituted the Lord's Supper. In Psalm 113 through 118, the psalms as well are filled with images of war and divine conquest and righteous triumph. So that teaches us something. Today, Satan is pillaging congregations and holding Christians captives to in their doubts and errors. Some of those things we covered in 1 Timothy 1. Even J.C. Ryle said that true Christianity is the fight of faith. Our God gives us the songs as an army, as the army of God, to sing as we fight together in union and communion with Jesus Christ, our great King. And so if you're struggling in doubts and trials, singing the psalms teaches us to persevere, to continue trusting in Christ, to continue fighting despite what things look like or seem to be. If the psalmist can go through all the things the psalmist has gone through, and we know those as we've covered them in prayer meeting, and yet he continues to persevere, he continues trusting, he continues fighting, then if we're singing those same psalms, we will be led to the same. And another thing we can appreciate, a benefit about the psalms is singing them, is that they are brutally honest. They're inspired by God. As one pastor says, a pastor in the RPCNA, the psalms are able to do far more, to be far more honest and searching and depressed and discouraged and angry and fearful than anything we would have the guts to write for God on our own. Singing psalms means that everyone coming to worship will be able to express their heart to God in a way pleasing to Him. Singing psalms reminds me God isn't interested in me putting on a happy face and pretending things are fine when they are not. He can handle your miserable singing. And so psalm singing is an honest communion with Jesus Christ. And so if you're really upset and frustrated, you can sing the psalms and be honest about it. And many other feelings and emotions and desires you may have, you can come and sing, being honest as you sing with Jesus Christ. And when you really want to know someone beloved, you want to hear their thoughts, you feel their emotions, get a sense of the deepest things of their heart, when you want to commune with them, where the gospel shows us all about Jesus, the psalms open up his heart to us. The psalms are the heart poetry of our Savior, getting to know his miseries, getting to know his joys and faith in the deepest possible way. And then finally, beloved, the benefit of the psalms is that it teaches us, as we've already said, proper emotions. Godly emotions. Emotions in different times of life, in different circumstances of life. As we look to our Savior, as we look to the psalmist and sing these psalms, we ought to be expressing those emotions and learning how to express them properly and godly. There are times where you're angry. Well, how are we to be angry and righteous at the same time? There are times of depression in our lives. The psalms teach us how to struggle rightly with that depression and be satisfied in Christ alone. There are times of great trouble and uncertainty in our lives and even anxiety. The psalms teach us how to handle those times in holiness. The psalms teach us how to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. And so as we learn these things, we're growing in our communion with Jesus Christ more and more. And in that way, as we've covered before, we talked about before, the psalms shepherd us as Christians. The psalms shepherd us. So those are the benefits of psalm singing. And there's probably many more. The second point this evening, the psalms and meditation. The psalms and meditation. Look at Colossians 3, verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you." So you don't just come here, beloved, and sing the psalms. You think about what Jesus says in them. You think about what He's singing about Himself. And you reflect upon it as you're singing. Something that will help you immensely in God's divine worship is looking at what you are going to sing before you come here for public worship. We don't always have that opportunity, but when you do, take that opportunity to do so. You're often, and we can praise the Lord in this, many churches we don't have that, and not all pastors are able to do what I'm able to do just because of various life circumstances, but you are given multiple days to look over the Psalms that we're going to sing before we sing them. Generally, you not only have the opportunity to sing to yourself or with your family the Psalms that we will sing in public worship, but you have probably opportunity to learn, even look over the tunes so that you know how to sing the Psalm before we actually come through the website I've previously linked, and if you don't remember, that's at Psalter.com. But you also have the very Psalms. I know all of you have the Psalters. You have the very Psalms. You can look in your Psalter. You can look at the words you're going to sing. You might not be able to sing the tune because you're not skillful in doing that, but you can look at the words and reflect upon what you are going to sing when we come to public worship and think about the meaning of what is being said there. Maybe even read a commentary like Matthew Henry's commentary on the Psalm or something like that. Take some time to sing it through if you're able. You can play it on your computer and try to sing along with it so you can kind of learn or be familiar enough with the tune. Do that a few times so you're not focusing so much on how to sing the Psalms, what notes to sing, but focusing more on what you are singing. And the session is also to help all of us, encouraged a little statement before we sing each psalm recently, which historically actually goes back to the Westminster Divines, and it's in the, if you look in the Westminster Assembly's Directory for Public Worship, you will find there something like what we are doing. And I'm sure it goes back before that it gives an understanding of the general theme of the psalm we're about to sing, so that we can be thinking of those things while we're singing it. And so as we've learned how to meditate on the Lord, we've learned how to meditate on His Word, meditate also on the Psalms we sing. And so that the Word of Christ will richly dwell within you. Not just dwell within you, but then richly dwell within you. And so it will be upon meditating upon the Psalms we're singing that we will be growing as in our public worship, in our communion with Jesus Christ in this time. Because we'll no longer be going through the motions, just trying to sing the notes and get the right words with the notes, but we'll actually be reflecting upon Christ, upon the truths, the doctrines found in the psalm we're singing with Him, and know that we're singing with Him. And so then also, when we sing, you can then personalize it where it's applicable to personalize it. You can embrace what you're singing about. You can praise God when you sing. And you aren't distracted so much by the question, is this the right note or not? Or what's the word here? You've already worked through the kinks, generally speaking, for the most part. You've done that already. Now you can pour yourself into the singing. Into the singing that to God. Into the singing that to yourself. Into the singing that to each other here, as we're commanded here to teach and admonish one another with the Psalms. And just think throughout the history now of some of what the church fathers and theologians have said about the singing of the Psalms. Athanasius, so that's going pretty far back, said, "It seems to me that the Psalms are for everyone who sings them like a mirror of the soul, in which it can recognize its movements and express its feelings. For in this book thou findest the whole life of man pictured, the moods of the heart, the movements of the thought. If thou hast need of repentance, if thou hast met trial and temptation, if thou art exposed to persecution and calumny, In all and in every case thou canst find here instruction and bring thy case before God in the words of the Psalms. Martin Luther, so the time of the Reformation, he said, "The human heart is like a ship driven on a wide sea by winds of sorrow and joy." And what are the Psalms but the earnest words of men driven about by these winds? Where are more beautiful words of joy than the Psalms of praise and thanksgiving? There thou seest into the heart of all the saints, as into fair and pleasant gardens, as into heaven itself, and walkest among the heart-rejoicing flowers, the happy and gladsome thoughts that rise to God and His goodness. And again, where findest thou deeper, more touching words of sorrow than in the penitential Psalms? There thou seest again into the heart of all the saints, as if into death and hell itself. How dark and gloomy it is there when God hides His face. And when they speak of fear and hope, it is in such words that no painter could give the colors and no Cicero the language. Beloved, these songs have, as you should know, have stood the test of time of over 3,000 years. As such, they may be said to contain in them the seed of eternity. Another man in history, Thaulk, said that they are God's eternal word meant for us to sing. And that they are. Matthew Henry said, "We have in the Psalms of the choicest and most excellent parts of all the Old Testament. Nay, so much is there in it of Christ and His gospel, as well as God and His law, that it has been called the abstract or summary of both testaments." It's an abstract or summary of the whole of the Scriptures. And what great need there is for us to meditate on these Psalms, to memorize these Psalms, all 150 of them, because there is also coming a persecution upon the people of God. I don't know when. There's always persecution upon the people of God as promised, and you can see throughout the world it is there. There's good reason to believe that it might happen in our part of the world soon, sooner than later. And that you, maybe those who are younger, especially might be thrown into prison for your faith, but all of us should be prepared for it. And be stripped of your Bibles, persecuted for Christ's sake in some way. And so we'll cover this point to prepare you for it. All then you will have is the Word in your mind and your heart. And it will be the Psalms that get you through. It's like Paul singing the Psalms in prison. You think of the French Huguenots and after the Reformation. They were the Calvinists who were greatly persecuted in France. The prisons describing when they were thrown in prison, they were thrown into, were so damp that their clothes rotted on their bodies. They were beaten and dragged by their hair for persisting to sing the Psalms. There were others who were condemned to the galleys, that is, slave ships to row to the galleys. They were condemned there, reckoned themselves happy when a more humane commander allowed them to hum the Psalms. They sang them in the ships. Many of them that carried them in banishment to the colonies, that is, to here. Women and young girls were mixed with the vilest of criminals. It was the Psalms that got them through. Rescued them. And kept their spirits lifted to Christ. At one point there's an account of a group of Christians being driven to take up arms to defend themselves, which is right if they have to defend themselves. The Psalms became their battle songs, just like the Covenanters. And their opponents in history speak of their singing as wild and fierce like a trumpet. Another account, a historian says that 300 Christians having fired their last cartridge, perished in the flames singing the Psalms. Beloved, learn the Psalms. Meditate upon them. They will help guide and lead you in every, literally every circumstance of life, from times of great joy to times of great depression, from times of great comfort to times of great persecution, and in all of it, you will always be led to your Savior. And so it says in our passage, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, and let it come forth from you with all wisdom, as it says, teaching and admonishing one another with them as you sing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. There are an infinite amount of benefits and blessings of psalm singing, and so use them. Sing them. Meditate upon them. Memorize them. Feel them and know that Christ communes with you as you take them up because He sings with you. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for Your Son, our Savior, our King, Jesus Christ, our Advocate, the Righteous One. We pray, as we think of the Psalms, that all nations and governments would kiss the Son, lest they perish. That we would do the same. Father, that we would desire You to understand and know and feel Your covenant mercy and Your faithfulness, Your truth. We know that You are abounding in such things. And so, Father, at all times, show it to us as we pray that You would help us to put this great blessing on of singing the Psalms with Your Son in union with Him. Show us if we don't get it yet, if we don't feel it yet, Father, we pray that You will show us how psalm singing, how great it is, and how much of a blessing it is to our lives. So, Father, help us in all things that have to do with this topic, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.